Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Seniors, this is our prayer for you, that for 1,000 generations, God's favor will be upon your life. Amen, church? I was thinking about when Jesus came into my life and how blessed I was to have a church family that cared about me and loved me and was committed to me and helping me. And you know, all of us know this, but we need to be reminded, you know, you can make lots of money and you can have lots of things. We're so blessed in this nation. We live 99.9% above most all the other people of the world. But there's things worth more than money. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, your family, your impact for the gospel, all of these things, God wants to use you in a huge way. And I'm so grateful that they did that song, "The Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace." That is our prayer for our seniors. How do you know right from wrong? That's what we're going to look at today in Ephesians chapter 5. Now, we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every ethnicity, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have been married a long time, and some just got married. We had a wedding in here yesterday, and Tyler got married yesterday, and Rachel. And some have kids, some don't have kids. Many are believers, but not all. But we're all here because we need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. We're in a series, Give Me an Answer from the Bible. We've looked at some things. What is your big problem? Does God promise you prosperity? Why am I in this mess? All these Bible studies are online. If you didn't hear those, you're welcome to access those through our website. How do you know right from wrong? How do you make decisions? In February of 2025, CNBC's Renee Oncue wrote an article, and she said in there that there are some who believe that we make as many as 35,000 decisions every day. Where will I sit? What will I have to eat at each meal? How much will I eat? Am I thirsty? Should I call and let them know I'm late? Along with driving a car and what lane to be in, looking for other drivers, etc. There, you think about all the time in a day. Can you imagine that we make that many decisions? Now, for the believer, let's face it, we want to make the right decision. We don't want to disobey the Lord. The problem is, it's not always clear what we should do. Our decisions don't easily resolve around passages of Scripture that give us clear-cut answers. If we face the decision, you know, we come to a decision. For example, should I murder someone? Well, we know what the Bible teaches about that. The Ten Commandments teach us not to murder. And we know that the Bible teaches us to obey the law, and it's against the law to murder. So there we have our answer. It's very clear cut. But not all decisions are that easy. Here are a few. You know, should I hang out with that person? Who should I date? What should be my profession? Who should I marry? Should I go to that movie? Should I participate in that Bible study? Do I go to a Christian college or a secular college? What type of music should we play in the church? Should I attend church while on vacation? Who should I vote for? You see what I mean? We are faced with decisions every day that are not easy to answer. Well, the Scripture gives us some insight into how to make decisions, and more importantly, how to determine right from wrong for each one of us. Ephesians chapter 5, just four verses of Scripture I'd like to read. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 says this. This is Ephesians 5:15. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read from mine. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What I want to say to the seniors and what I want to say to each of us today, and I'm saying to myself as if I'm looking in a mirror, is instead of always asking the question, is something right or wrong, we should ask the question, is it wise? You see, the Scripture says in our text there, see then that you walk circumspectly, verse 15, not as fools, but as wise. Now, they're going to put something on the screen that I want you to say with me in just a moment. And this is to take the emphasis off of always asking the question, is something right or wrong, but asking the question, is it wise? Because maturity in the Christian life is not always just arguing over right and wrong. Maturity, graduates, moms and dads, church family, Pastor Calvin, maturity is not always asking something just right or wrong. The question is it wise? So say this with me. There's good and there's bad, but that's not our cue, but rather what is the wise thing to do. Say that again. There's good and there's bad, but that's not our cue, but rather what is the wise thing to do. Some principles here. The word wisdom or the word wise means prudent. It's seeing life from God's point of view. Years ago, I heard that definition. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. And graduates and parents and church family, I pray that each of us would want to live our life from God's point of view with wisdom. The word wise means prudent, pertaining to understanding, wise in handling practical matters, exercising good judgment or common sense. It means careful in regard to one's own interests. Careful about one's conduct is what it means, all right? Three principles from our text that I want us to look at. Here's the first thing. Number one, be aware of potential danger. In verse 15 it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. The phrase see then means see to it. In other words, this is important. The Apostle Paul is writing to them and he's saying, look, I want you to look at this. This is important. And then he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. That you walk is a phrase that is for your conduct, your life. You have to be mindful that it's possible to be tripped up in life. And so you are to be aware of potential danger. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly. It has with the idea of with your head high, looking around. I think of the periscope on a submarine when I think about this word. You're under the water and you put that periscope up and you lift that thing up and it goes out and you can look ahead because you're up higher. It means to be tall. It suggests looking around. It has the sense of exactness. In other words, there's a priority given to it. Giving attention to all the circumstances and consequences as one might do when passing through a very, very dangerous place. Be aware of potential danger. You are to be very observant about life. It says in our text, but not as fools. A fool is one who is unclear and has no direction. He's not circumspect. He's not thinking. He's just going with the flow. My pastor used to say this, any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a fish with a backbone to swim against the current. Circumspect would be to live with a backbone, to be thinking about the direction of your life and where you're headed. To be a fool would be to just live as a dead fish floating downstream. I think about a minefield. A minefield is a dangerous place. You have to make it through a minefield, you have to be very observant. The stakes are high. It's do or die. And so one of the things that Paul is saying here to the Ephesian people is he's saying, look, I want you to walk with wisdom. I want you to walk, and that begins by walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, because there is danger. Be aware of potential danger. Here's the second thing. Understand the limits of time. He says in the scripture in verse 16, redeeming the time. That phrase to redeem the time means to buy back. It means to rescue from loss. We all only have so much time, so what are we going to do with our time? Sometimes decisions need to be made because time is limited. We only have so much time. He says redeeming the time. It means to rescue from loss. To improve the opportunity. We only have a limited time. We need to ask ourselves this question. With limited time, what should we be doing with our time? So the question is not always, is this wrong to do this with my time? Is this the only right thing? No. Is this wise? Because I've got limited time. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. We waste so much time today. We spend 4 hours, the average person spends 4 hours a day watching television, 5 hours a day, and I guess that includes part of the watching TV, is in leisure, 2 hours and 23 minutes average on social media, and we're basically allowing time to just go by us, and we're not redeeming the time. We must redeem the opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. That phrase means that it's wicked in a moral sense. The stakes are high. So you have an opportunity to either go out and make your life count. I think about someone who has a chance to spend time with an unsaved friend, or maybe just hang out only with their friends, and they never spend time with an unsaved person to tell them about Jesus Christ. Well, we have to make the most of our time. Doesn't mean we would never spend time with our friends. But yet, when you think about the limits of time and the evil world that we're in, our days are limited, and it may make a big difference in how we spend our time. I think about athletes today, athletes that are believers in Christ. Many of them say, you know, I'm doing my best to excel because this gives me a platform to make a difference for the Lord. Whatever talents you have, God can use that talent for you to leverage that time for the gospel's sake and for the Lord's sake. I remember going on a mission trip and I met a retired couple. I was thinking early about Johnny and Nita as folks that have been career missionaries. And then they retired and they kept going back. I think they did that because the days are evil and our time is limited. and they wanted to make a difference. When I went on a mission trip, I met a pilot who had retired, and he was over in a foreign country as an adult leader making a difference in another country, and they were IMB people that were there as volunteers. Why? Because they had an opportunity and they didn't want to lose it. They were convinced that the days demanded that they spend their time in a unique way. So all I will say to us all is, when you think about when you want to know what is right from wrong, you don't always ask, is something just good or bad? You need to think about, okay, what is the potential danger that's about my life and the decision that I'm going to make? And then you must understand the limits of time. So I want us to say this again. There's good and there's bad, but that's not our cue. But rather, what is the wise thing to do? Say it again. There's good and there's bad, but that's not our cue. But rather, what is the wise thing to do? So the first thing is be aware of potential danger from this text. The second thing is understand the limits of time. Here's the last thing. Do not lose your identity. Now, a lot of people think that this text is about alcohol because in verse 18 it says, be not drunk with wine. I think there's a lesson there, but here's the bigger lesson. Look at verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is to live by wisdom. Now, he says, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. The word dissipation means to lose your identity. In other words, you think about, he gives the example of being drunk with wine. When a person is drunk, they lose really who they are. Their identity is lost because they do things they never would have done otherwise. And so the illustration here, don't be drunk with wine because that's dissipation. The principle here is do not lose your identity. Don't do anything that compromises your identity as a believer in Jesus Christ. Don't lose your identity. In other words, excesses, drunkenness, recklessness, all of these things cause us to lose our identity. When something controls you, you are not yourself. And that's the picture. When something controls you, you're not yourself. You are being controlled. What we are to do is allow the Holy Spirit to control us. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And the word filled there means to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. When I was at UF, I was at Lee Hall a lot in the early days taking chemistry. Notice I said in the early days. Okay, because the Lord led me in a different direction, if you know what I mean. Anyway, but we had glass beakers, and we would take liquids and we would put things in it. I think about what dissipation means. If you take a beaker full of water and you take one little drop of food coloring and you drop it in that food coloring, until it saturates that food coloring is lost. It dribbles down into that water, and you stir it up, and you never know that strong color, one drop, had been dropped in there. It dissipates. So here's the principle. Don't do things that cause you to lose your identity. Paul is saying that. When I gave my life to Christ as a teenage boy, I gave my testimony in the camp we were in, and we were coming back, and I got elected to be on a leadership team in the youth choir. And I came back from my camp, and we got started. One of the big temptations that I had in my life was going. I went to tons of movies, okay? And as you know, there are some good movies that are made, right? But we also know that the vast majority of movies that are made have things in them that we probably should not be seeing. Well, I come back from that camp, man, I was on fire for the Lord. But my routine was to see whatever's the latest movie. And so I came back from camp, school was about to begin. I was elected to be a leader in that group. And I remember going to this movie, and I remember sitting in this movie, and something was different. I had given my life to Jesus. And man, stuff that I was seeing was not, this was not an X-rated movie, okay? I was a kid. But there were things in it that were just, I just knew Jesus was not happy. And I started feeling convicted about it. So I got up and I went into the restroom. Regency Theater in Jacksonville. Anybody ever been there? Okay, you were in there with me. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, no. Regency Square in Jacksonville was the big movie place. And I went in that restroom, and let me tell you what happened. While I was in that restroom, a friend of mine from my church walked in there. He was in there too. And I mean, it was like a dagger in my heart. It's like the Lord was saying, you know, you just got saved. You just surrendered your life to Christ. And here you are in here watching something that is not pleasing to me. Not only that, you have been a leader. And now here's someone that's in the group seeing you lose your identity. You see, young people and folks, the devil thinks we have a price. The devil thinks there's something, yeah, I know you're committed, but there's a price that you're willing to pay in order to be popular or whatever. Well, in that moment, the Holy Spirit convicted me that that was not where I needed to be, and I left. I just walked out and left. That day. Why? Because I lost my identity. Young people, don't do anything that causes you to lose control of your identity. The principle here, if you want to know, how do you know right from wrong, you ask yourself the question, will my testimony dissipate by my participation in this? Are you sensitive about your identity as a believer? Don't dissipate your life and your convictions. Now, we're to be filled with the Spirit. It's an imperative. It's a command. We are to let the Holy Spirit control us. It's a present tense command. It's not just a one-time filling. Salvation is a one-time commitment. You give your life to Jesus Christ. You are born again. That's a transaction that happens. The Bible says that when we do that, we are justified by faith. We have trusted in Jesus Christ to be our personal Lord and Savior. But being filled with the Spirit is a continuous action. We are to constantly be filled, and it's for every believer. And it actually is in a passive voice. It means you are allowing God to act upon you. You are yielding to allow God Almighty to act upon you. Here's a way you could describe that. Be filled with the Spirit. Be ye being constantly filled with the Spirit. Be ye being constantly filled with the Spirit. So, from this text of Scripture, we're to be aware of potential danger, understand the limits of time, and don't lose your identity. Say this with me. There's good and there's bad, but that's not our cue, but rather what is the wise thing to do. Let's say it again. There's good and there's bad, but that's not our cue, but rather what is the wise thing to do. Maturity is not always asking, is something right or wrong? Maturity is asking, is it wise? So many times in the Christian life, We want to know where the line is. Where's the line of right and wrong? If I'm on this side, I'm okay. If I'm on this side, I'm in sin. If I'm on this side, I'm okay. If I'm on this side, I'm in sin. Can I tell you this? I learned this years ago. The Bible was not written to tell us how close we can get to the world and still be in God's camp. The Bible was not written to tell us how cozied up can I be to the world's way and still be in God's camp, because I really am drawn over there that world's way. No, you know what the Bible was written? The Bible was written for us to learn how we can run hard towards God Almighty. If you ask the Bible, how can I be more in love with Jesus, it'll give you the answer. If you ask the Bible, how can I be more pure in my walk with Jesus, more in love with Him, more evangelistic, all of these things, the Bible will give you an answer. But if you're always living by the good and the bad, you're gonna find so many areas that it's hard to know where that line is. We must learn how to make a decision from the position of wisdom. You need to ask, is what I'm about to consider wise? Should I go to that Bible study? Well, if you're late for work because of it, then no. But if somebody else is saying, you know, I was thinking about just sitting around watching the Idiot Box for a while, but I've been invited to go to that Bible study, then probably yes would be the answer. Will I lose my identity in the way I carry myself and what I do? Will it be clear that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ if I go to this place or go to that place? Should I go on a mission trip? Well, one decides that time is limited. He wants to count for the cause of Christ around the world. Here are some filters, and I'll be done. Filters for the will of God. First thing is, God speaks through His Word. If the Word of God is clear about that issue, then you have your answer. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? Psalm 119:105. In other words, are we to give thanks for the circumstances we're in? You know what? We are. Because the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's another thing. Number two, will the Lord be pleased? In Joshua 24:15, it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So you ask yourself, if you have a decision to make, will the Lord be pleased with this? Number three, have you prayed about it? Have you prayed about it? Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Number four, have you received the counsel of others? Godly counsel will help you in making decisions. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15 says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. If you have a big decision to make, and everybody that you love and respect says, I wouldn't do that, you'd be smart to not do that. Often I tell people, when they've got a decision to make, I say, I want you to write down the four or five most godly people you know and go talk to them about it. What do you think? What would they tell you to do? So here are some things to work through. Number one, is it in His Word? Number two, will it please the Lord? Number three, have you prayed about it? Number four, have you had the counsel of others? Number five, your best decisions take time. Kelly's dad used to tell me, Calvin, Satan wants you to make a quick decision. Make a quick decision. You got to do it right now. He said, if it's of the Lord, it will not go away. I thought that was pretty wise counsel. And the scripture says The scripture says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15, it says it this way: the simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. The next thing is to ask this question: how will it impact others? How will your decision impact others? Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. Let each one of you look out not for his own interests, but also for the interest of others. The truth is, folks, we all cast a shadow. Let's think about that song y'all did, A Thousand Generations. Yesterday, I went to a t-ball game. My five-year-old grandson, Zion, had his last t-ball game. And I love t-ball because those guys, they hit the ball off the tee and they run to first and they just keep going out into right field. And they say, wait a minute, come back to first. You know? And it's so cute. I remember when my kids did that. Well, while I was there, my youngest grandson, Coulter, was there with Kelly and I, and we were holding him. I was thinking, you know, when they were singing that, I was thinking about Coulter. I'm praying that his generation will know God and live for him. How will what I'm doing impact him? How will what you do impact others? We all cast a shadow. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it says that. Don't think just of your own interests, but also the interests of others. And then the last one, and this is not exhaustive, but just some principles there. Do you have peace in your heart about it? In the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Do you have peace in your heart about the decision you're about to make? The peace of God is like a referee. You play basketball, there's a referee. I've watched some of these kids play basketball. And there's a referee there. And if they get outside the line, you're out of bounds. This is a principle that has served me well. I'm just saying it. Have you ever heard this? When in doubt, don't. You ever heard that? When in doubt, don't. Because you're about to get into an area. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God be a referee. You're about to go. Say that with me. I'm just kidding. Well, those seven things hopefully can guide you. But the truth is, there's a lot of decisions we all have to make that are not, they're not just clear. We have to make them based on principle. And the biggest principle of all is, don't be like the fools, but be wise. Maturity is living by wisdom. Say it with me. There's good and there's bad, but that's not our cue, but rather what is the wise thing to do. There's good and there's bad, but that's not our cue, but rather what is the wise thing to do. I'm praying that that will be branded upon your hearts today. You have the hope and the future and the love of this church family upon your life. We are committed to you, and I know your moms and dads are committed to you. I will say this, and I heard this years ago, we all trust somebody. Because we don't know everything. Somebody says, oh, go to this, you'll have so much fun. Well, you know what you're doing? You're trusting them that they're right. We all trust somebody, right? All I would say to you is, think about the people that love you the most and get their wisdom. Because nobody loves you like your mom and dad, and nobody loves you like your church family. And then infinitely more than that, nobody loves you like Jesus does. You get up every day of your life and you get on your knees and you say, Jesus Christ, I'm yours. Lock, stock, and barrel. These are your hands. These are your feet. These are your eyes. Take me where you want me to go, and I'll make you a promise. You'll never regret that decision. You'll never regret it. That's living by wisdom. You have a decision to make, ask yourself, you know, I know that technically this is not an evil thing. Or, I think this is a good thing. But based upon God's word, is it the wise thing for me to do? If you live that way, you'll be teaching the generations for 1,000 years. That's the way they ought to live. Amen? Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.